God, for that truth and all the truths that we have heard and sown today. Praise the Lord for the special singing and the congregational singing as well. Well, I thought, well, I'm going to get back on the Ten Commandments. And the Lord said, well, I've got a thought that I would like for you to consider a missions conference coming up. And so we're going to talk about something else. I hope that each one of you have blocked off next week, Sunday through Thursday, in anticipation of God speaking to your heart about the souls of men and women and boys and girls. When I read the Word of God in particular, when I read the Word of God in general, I should say, I see where God has a burden, where God has a desire to see people come to Him and to know Him. When I read this chapter in particular, I see where the theme that we're going to be talking about in our missions conference is brought to light. The theme this year is every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. You know, God wants everybody to be saved. And if I have the nature of God, and I do, all saved people have the divine nature. That's what 2 Peter chapter 1 says. All of us have the divine nature of God. And so if you're saved, you ought to have the desires that God has. What's the nature of God? The nature of God is to save man. That's right. I wonder if that's part of my nature, to see that men get saved. I can't save them, but I can sure bring them to one who can. And I pray that we would get concerned about every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I just think that it's hard for us to say that we love God when we don't love the things that He loves. It's easy to say what we love, but I believe you can show what you love better than you can say what you love, don't you? I think it ought to match up. Now, I want you to notice something here. I'm going to give an overview. There is so much in this chapter. By the way, through the years, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know about these four gospel accounts, you know. Couldn't God just tell us what He wanted to tell us in one? I thank God for the four gospel accounts. Could you imagine not having Luke 15 in your Bible? See, Matthew doesn't record this, nor does Mark or John. But God chose Luke to give us what I believe is the greatest short story ever told, Luke 15. In Luke 15, there's a couple of statements that's made, and I want to use this kind of as a backdrop to give you an overview. There's just two points, really. I have a lot of things I want to say about these two points. But in this particular chapter, the first point is the sinful nature of man. Jesus is dealing with two really particular groups of people. I want you to notice these two particular groups of people. In verse number one, it says, then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners. Say, what's a publican? That's not a Republican, is it? Well, you know, I'm not going to say it. I could have said we have our two parties represented right there in verse number one. But, now listen to me. Publicans, think about this. What are publicans? Do you know what a publican is? Publicans were kind of turncoats. Publicans. Publicans were connivers. Publicans were, now see, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Publicans were crooks. Publicans. They were tax collectors. Now, not like tax collectors today. I'm not saying they're not crooks. But I am saying this. I'm saying that it was different in this day. It was a group of people that took advantage of the others, and they used their tax money. They were in cahoots with Rome, and they were in situation. They were in a partnership with the township, so that they could take advantage of people and get what they wanted and when they wanted and how much they wanted. The publicans, they were despised people. They were looked down on. And so here's this group of people, the publicans and sinners, kind of the lower echelon of life is the way they were viewed. And then you have in verse number three, and the Pharisees and scribes. Now here's the second group. They were kind of the upper crust. They were viewed as these uppity-up people. These people that were always correcting people and always looking down on people, and I just had everything the way they wanted it. And if you didn't measure up to the way they wanted it, not the way God wanted it, but the way they wanted it, well, then you were looked down on. Pharisees and scribes, they were the recorders. They were the ones who wrote it down. And so here's these two groups of people. And one of them drew near because they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say in verse number 1. Do you see that? They wanted to hear it. They realized they needed to hear what Jesus had to say. The second group, however, they murmured. They followed Jesus around not because they necessarily wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to criticize what he had to say. Someone says it doesn't take much size to criticize, you know, and that's the truth. Can I tell you, people that are always criticizing things, they're small people. And they're trying to get everyone else down on their level. Amen. That's right. And so you be careful about that. Don't you? Listen, you don't get caught up into that. It's easy to get caught up into that. And so the scripture says in verse number 2 that part of their criticism of Jesus was, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He fellowships with them, old sinners. He spends time with them sinners. He receiveth them. That was their indictment on Jesus. Now I want you to hold your place here. We won't turn to too many scripture today. I'm going to stay right here in Luke 15. But go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 11. Would you do that? Matthew chapter number 11. There's a statement made about Jesus that goes right along with this. So the indictment that these Pharisees had, that Jesus received sinners. By the way, that's probably one of the few indictments that they got right. Amen. I'm glad Jesus received sinners. That's right. Can I tell you, you wouldn't be here if he didn't. I wouldn't either. Jesus received sinners. And I'm glad he spent some time with us. See, that word eat is a signification that he supped with them. He fellowshiped with them. He sat down with them. He got involved in their lives so he could get involved in meeting the need of their life. Back here in Matthew chapter number 11, Jesus said in verse numbers 18 of Matthew 11, he said, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, these Pharisees, see, here they are criticizing. They said, oh, John's got a devil. Look at it in verse 18. John, he came neither eating nor drinking. In other words, you can't please these people. No matter what you do, it's wrong. In case you do what they want you to do. You see. And then verse number 19, he said, John came, and they said he was a devil because of what he did do. And he said, now I come, or what he wouldn't do, but I come and what I do, they want to say, here's a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Now watch this statement. A friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners, amen. Now I want you to go back to Luke 15, and I want to give you an overview. So Jesus said, I tell you what I'm going to do. In light of who is here today, in light of the Pharisees and scribes and the publicans and sinners, can I tell you, I'm just convinced, I don't want to give percentages, I don't want to divide this and that. They're here today. These groups of people are here today. Maybe some watching by live stream, I don't know, but I'm convinced that we don't all, listen, not everyone here is a Pharisee or scribe, not everyone here would represent a publican or sinner, but I believe everyone represents the mindset of these people that were there today. So you know what Jesus did? He said, I want to tell you a story. And that's what a parable is. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. The Bible says, and he spake this parable unto them. In other words, Jesus said, I want to tell you something that's going to help you find out where you stand. And he said, I want to give you an overview. And he said, in this overview, he said, I'm going to tell you about the sinful nature of man and the saving nature of God. He said, I want to tell you about this because this is the most important thing in all of life. You need to understand you're a sinner and that God saves sinners. You need to understand that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and that if you are a sinner, that Jesus will save you because he is a friend for sinners. Amen. Jesus said, you need to understand this. And he says, so I'm going to tell you how this works. He started out, and I want you to notice in verse number 4, he said, what man of you? Now, I couldn't help but think about our missions conference, because remember now, the theme is every man. Now look in verse number 8. And then he said, either what woman? Every man, every woman. Now look at verse number 11. He said, a certain man had two sons, every child, every boy, every girl. See, Jesus is always about reaching everybody. It's whosoever will. This crowd running around saying that, well, this crowd could get saved, or this crowd, no matter if they want to or not, they have to get saved, and this crowd can't get saved. They know nothing about this book, brother. They know nothing about this book. Jesus Christ loves mankind. He loves every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. And because of that, you can't witness to the wrong person. Somebody say amen with me. There's no way you can tell the wrong person about Jesus. And so he said this. He said, I want to tell you the need for man. And he gives us these three pictures in one parable. He said, I want to talk to you about the need of man. He started out by saying this. Now listen to me. He said, man's weak. Man without God is weak. You said, no, preacher, I'm not weak. I can live. Listen, if you think because of how much you can bench press you're strong, you don't understand some things about life. You need to get some things down. Man without God is in weakness. Weakness. As a matter of fact, if you'll look here, as Pastor David read and you hear in verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep? He said, you're weak like sheep. You listening to me? Please don't miss what God is saying here. Don't you miss what Jesus is saying. He said, I want to talk to you about your weakness. You're weak like a sheep. What do you know about sheep? Well, I know this. They're not smart. Sheep are not smart. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, he said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Don't you think if we could understand, if we would seek after God, that would make us smart? But there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Man doesn't go to God. Man runs from God. That's not smart. Man, in his ignorance, brethren, in his ignorance, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 that we're spiritually discerned. The natural man, please listen to me, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Man without God is foolish. Man without God is weak. Man without God is erring. And so the Bible says that we've erred from God. We haven't received the things of God. I want you again to take your Bible, and this may be the last time we turn, but I want to show what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, about the weakness of man without God. He said, this sheep, he was lost. He wandered. You get it? Wandered. There's this bumper sticker, and if you've got it, don't think I'm picking on you. I don't know who has bumper stickers, who don't. I've said for years that weak people have bumper stickers, so I didn't just start when I saw yours. Don't get angry. And there's this new bumper sticker that's out, and it's been around for a while. Not all that wonder are lost. Can I tell you that when the Bible talks about loss, it's talking about wandering. Wandering from God. Wandering aimlessly through life. Wandering, brethren. This sheep was lost. Wandering away from God. Listen, we need God, and yet man wanders from God. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 17. Ephesians 4 in verse number 17. This just speaks of the weakness, of the ignorance of man. Look at it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not after as other Gentiles. That's speaking of lost people. Man without God. Don't walk as they walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now watch this now. We're explaining lost people. We're explaining the sinful nature of man. We're talking about the weakness, the ignorance of man without God. Man without God. puffed up, thinking that we know it all. Thinking because we know psychosomatics or we know thermodynamics that we're something. Can I tell you, the God that we need to be seeking created this universe. And yet if we're not careful, we'll think we're something. It's because we're sheep and we've wandered and we haven't realized our place in relation to the shepherd. Please hear me this morning. The sinful nature of God does, of man does that. Makes us think more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's why if we're not careful, our hearts will be filled with pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency. And we'll say we don't need God. Look at it again in verse number 18. Having the understanding. I'm in Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened. Isn't that sad? And look, he said being alienated from the life of God. We're talking about sheep. We're talking about the weakness of man without God. I think we've forgotten how important this relationship with God in life is. We've gotten to the place that most can say, well, I could take it or leave it. No, brother, give it to me. Hey, man, I need it. I need it. And he said, through the ignorance. I mean, verse 18, through the ignorance that is in them. We're talking about weakness of sheep. How that the Bible says they're weak. How that it says they're dumb. They're not smart. The Bible says here that through their ignorance, brethren, look at it in verse 18, that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. So you need that. I need that. We need to learn what life is about and what God has placed us here for. Man without God is like a sheep. Just ignorant to what life is about. As we go back to Luke 15, Jesus said, not only is man like sheep in that he's dumb, but he's directionless. He needs to be found. Notice what happens here in Luke 15 in verse number 4. The sheep would not come back on his own. The shepherd had to leave to go get him. Are you listening? He had to leave to go get him. He didn't realize how good he had it in the fold. The shepherd had to leave to go get it. He won't come to the fold. He has to be brought to the fold. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us about ourselves. You say, well, one day I just woke up and decided I wanted to get right with God. No, you didn't. God dealt with your heart. God showed you were lost. God showed you your sinful condition. God did that. And so Jesus said, I want to talk to you about the sinful nature of man. You're like sheep. You're dumb, as it were. You're directionless. Yeah. The Bible says, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Look it up. It just means we've wandered away. We just wandered away from what is good for us. Not only are we directionless, but the Bible says we're defenseless. We're without strength. We don't have whatever it takes in us to defend ourselves against the enemy. We're like sheep. What's a sheep going to do? Bears have paws and claws, right? Lions have teeth. Some have speed. Some have strength. Just about everything in the animal kingdom can protect itself. Even the skunk can put out a spray. What's a sheep going to do? Bah! Well, that scares us to death, right? Nah. He said, you're like sheep. And he said, look at it. In verse number 4, he said, what man of you? He said, I just want you to know. When it comes to man without God, you're as helpless as a sheep. Can I go on record this morning and say, I need the shepherd. I need the shepherd. Listen, no greater psalm has been written than the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Without him, I'm in want. With him, I shall not want. Amen. And then you read that and it just tells all that the shepherd does for the sheep. You know why? We're dependent. Amen. I'm dependent on the shepherd.
And that this is what Jesus is saying. As you go back to Luke 15, he said, I want to tell you that man without God is in weakness. But look, if you would, in verse 8. He said, this woman had these 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. And for sake of time, he's saying here that man was created to be complete. Man was created to fulfill a use. Can I tell you, God made you to fulfill a purpose. God made me to fulfill a use in this world in which we live. And yet man without God will never realize that purpose. He'll never fulfill that use. And so Jesus is telling both publicans and sinners and scribes and Pharisees, without me, you can do nothing. You're like that coin. Listen, those women that received those 10-piece coin frontlets, they were worn to show that they were loyal to their husband. They were faithful to their husband. But when one was missing, it was a disgrace. It was a sign of unfaithfulness, of losing their dignity. And so Jesus said, man is really, he's worthless. The worthlessness of man without God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not worthless. Let me ask you something. Let's say you had a big chunk of gold in one pocket. And let's say you had a nickel in the other. And you decide that while you're on vacation that you're going to wade out in the ocean. And you wade out, and the waves hit you a certain way. You get back in, you realize your pockets are empty. Well, there might be a little sand in there. Amen. Your gold and your nickel. While they're in your pocket, one was worth more than the other. But when they got out of place, what are they to you now? Nothing. You say, well, the nickel, no, the gold. It's nothing. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the sinful nature of man, it renders him of no use. You see, a coin is minted to be used. It's minted for a purpose. In particular, this set of coins. But when it's not complete, it doesn't do what it was put in circulation to do. And then the final picture that he showed about the sinful nature of man. You following? We're like sheep. We're like sheep. We need a shepherd. You need a guide in your life. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to be that guide. He wants to navigate you through life. Say, I don't need any help. That's the problem today. We're going to get to that in just a moment. See, pride does that. And the very founder and originator of pride, Satan himself, will have you saying that every day of your life, which you don't need. What you and I need to realize is who we do need. We need God, brethren. In order for life to make sense, in order for life to find purpose, we need God in our lives. And so we're like sheep. And we just wandered astray with no direction, with no defense. We're dependent. We're like this coin. We're out of circulation. We're not fulfilling the purpose that it was meant to fulfill. And then in verse number 11, he said a certain man had two sons. Now for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into these two sons in detail. One of them left home, one of them stayed home. But can I tell you, they both broke the heart of their father. Neither one of them showed respect to their father. Neither one of them did. And when you look at this, you'll think at first, you'll think, well, the younger son, man, he really disrespected his father. No more than the older son. They both disrespected their father. The younger son is like the publicans and sinners. He disrespected his father through his actions. The older son is like the Pharisees and scribes. He disrespected his father through his attitude. Boy, his attitude stunk. As a matter of fact, they both showed their disrespect to their father by their portion. And I want you to get this, and this is all I'll say about this before I get to my final point. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, Jesus said there was this father who had two sons. Now that lets me know right there, God wants me to focus on both of the sons. Throughout time and in the years past, many, many have only looked at the younger son. You should never do that in this story, because it loses a lot of the truth that God wants us to see in this story. The younger son said this in verse number 12. Look at it. He said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Now, what's he talking about that? What's the portion of goods? Well, if you look in verse number 30, we'll see. The elder son, in referring to that instance, said, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living." It was something that the father had accumulated. And he said, "I want my part of what you've accumulated." Now, really, this today is equal to people saying, I want to breathe God's air. I want to eat God's crops. I want to enjoy God's beauty. You following me? I want to enjoy everything of God, but I do not want to have anything to do with God. Yeah, that's the way mankind lives today as a whole. We just live like, "God, you just keep giving to us, but don't get involved in our personal lives. We don't want anything to do with you. We don't have anything to do with your word. We don't have anything to do with your people. We don't have anything to do with your son. We don't have anything to do with your church. We just want you to keep giving to us." Now, don't you become that way. "Oh, now, preacher, I'd never be that way." Now, be careful. Be careful about making that statement. Because one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you please listen to me. And every one of us is going to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. I'm going to give an account of every day of my life, and you are too. And God is going to hold each one of us accountable. Amen. And God is saying, "What have you done with what I've given to you?" And God's going to hold us accountable. And if all we've done is use it for self and not used it for God's glory and for others, God is going to judge us. And the scripture says that this young one said, basically, "I want my inheritance." You see verse 12? "I want my inheritance." In other words, "I wish you were dead, Dad. I want you to give me what's coming to me as though you were dead. I want what's mine," which really wasn't his. Verse 30 said it was something that his father had accumulated, but he was going to share it with him. Boy, I tell you, I spoke last week on being thankful. This is what unthankfulness will do to you right here. It'll have you thinking about no one but yourself. "Give me." I want you to underline those two words in verse number 12. "Father, give me." When you get to where most of your sentences start with those two words, you know you're in a bad place. "Give me. Give me. Give me." See, listen to me now. Listen to me. This is what the sinful nature of man's about. Man. Me. Me. And the younger went out, and the Bible says he spent his substance on riotous living. And he got to a place to where there was this hunger that was deeper than that was in his stomach. He had a hunger in his soul. And he said, if you look here, in verse number 17, he said, "And when he came to himself," I've said it over and over again, there is like an insanity with sin. The sinful nature of man is like insanity. We just do things that we never thought we would do. We just cross lines that we never thought we would cross. We just say things that we never thought we would say. You listening? I'm talking to you about the nature that is in you, the nature that is in me, the sinful nature of man. It's something that the curse has done to us. And the only aid, the only help, the only relief we'll ever get from this is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. It's the only way. And so here is a young man that thinks he knows best. Someone said that first of all he was sick of home, but then he got homesick. But thank God eventually he got home. Amen. You could just about summarize that story in those three ways. First of all, he was sick of home. "Give me what's coming. I'm ready to go." Boy, I tell you, if you've got that itch, you better listen. You better get Jesus in your life soon. to where just give me what's coming to me and let me go. I got to get out there and take the world by the tail and show everybody who I am and who's in charge. You're going down, friend. And the Bible says that when he came to himself, it's almost like he shook himself. It's almost like the Spirit of God shook him and said, boy, look where you are. He had big plans and they ended him up in the hog pen. Please hear me today. That's where sin always has us to end up at. Someone has said that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin destroys lives. The sinful nature of man. The Bible says that he said, Father, give me. And you know how this story ended. Thank God he made his way back home. Amen. He said in verse number 17, he said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Can I tell you, there was a greater hunger than that of a gnawing stomach? There was something down deep in the recesses of his soul that remembered the father's house and that relationship and that closeness. And he said, I long for that. I long for a relationship with my father. Thank God for that day that God put that in my heart. Aren't you glad for God putting that in your heart? This elder brother, and I must hurry, this elder brother, he had such pride about him. He was a pouter. The Bible says in verse number 28, he was angry, you see it there, and would not go in. Verse 28, this is the elder brother. And so the father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said, you know what? He said, I've done a lot for you. Why haven't you done anything for me? We heard about this a couple of weeks ago, favor swapping. Don't get into favor swapping with God now. Don't get into favor swapping with God. That's a bad business. Amen? And if we're not careful, our service to God will be nothing but mere favor swapping. God, I'll do this if you do this. That's what this young man right here is doing, the elder brother. Read it sometime. Read it sometime. I've done all this. What you gonna do for me? Pride. Look what he said in verse number 29. He answered his father and said, lo, these many years do I serve thee. You know, look at me, I've served you. Listen, if you're serving God to be seen, you're serving for the wrong motive. And so we could go on and on. These two young men, what are they showing us? They're just showing us the wretchedness of men. The wretchedness of men. Whether you're going out and spending your substance on righteous living or staying home and living and pouting because you don't get your way and full of pride and pomp, you know. And the bad thing is, this guy here, he thought he was in good shape. But I want to show you what the father said before I go to my final thought. Look, if you would, in verse number 31, I'm sorry. The father said unto his son. The father said, well, let me go back to 30 because I do have something I want to say here. Look at verse number 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, wouldn't even call it his brother. Now, I want you to hear me, brethren. Please, please, now listen to me. If you're here today and you say you're saved, and I have no reason to doubt you, I don't know what's in your heart. But you can measure your love for the father by your love for the brethren. This man, now listen to me, this young man did not love his brother. He wouldn't even call him his brother. He said, as soon as this thy son. You're looking at verse number 30. As soon as this thy son. We've got a lot of Christians running and talking about how much they love God and they're angry at their brother. They're cutting down their brother. They're running down their brother. They're criticizing their brother. They're backbiting. They're tailbearing. They're gossiping on their brother. Listen to me now. There's something not right in your relationship with the father. When you can't get it right with your brother, when you can't be in good fellowship with the brother, there's something wrong with you and the father. Please hear me now. Not trying to hurt you, trying to help you. I'm talking to you about the sinful nature of man. Sin does that to us. Sin does that. It makes us believe that we can be right with God and not right with our brother. That's an impossibility. In verse number 31, the scripture says, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Now watch this. This is to the older brother who's mad because of what the father done for the younger brother. There's so much here. I knew I was going to get in trouble preaching this. There's so much. It's hard to leave this stuff out. Verse 31 says, he said, son, thou art ever with me. Watch this now. This is important. And all that I have is thine. What a statement. But you know, the story ends without this brother, this elder brother, utilizing what was his. Can I tell you, don't you go through life with a wrong relationship with your brother, which causes a wrong relationship with your father, and not utilizing all that is thine. I could preach a whole message on that. How many people do you know that are out of fellowship with their brother, and as a result are out of fellowship with their father, and all that God has for them that is theirs is not being utilized? Don't you let the devil do that to you, please. Don't now. You'll miss out on a lot in life because of that sin right there. Now I want to close with these thoughts. We looked at the sinful nature of man. The sinful nature of man. Like a sheep. We're just wandering. We're lost. We're like a coin. We're out of place. We're like these sons. We're out of fellowship. You can be out of fellowship and be in the home like the elder son, or out of the home like the younger son. The sinful nature of man. Now I want to talk to you just briefly. I just want to give you some thoughts about the saving nature of God. I'm glad God loves sinners. You know, I was thinking this week, and it just humbles me that God loves me. God loves sinners. Some people say that and they just say it like it means nothing. When I say that, I always think of me. I don't think of you when I say that. I may, but I think of me first. God loves sinners. Like me. I hope you know God loves you. Can I give you three ways? And then I'll be done. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. God loves sinners like a shepherd loves sheep. Amen. You see verse 4? What man of you having 100 sheep? Right? That's the shepherd. That's like the son. You know what the son does? He rescues. That's what that shepherd did for the sheep. This is what Jesus is teaching these people. I came to rescue you. Aren't you glad that Jesus rescues? Amen. Number 2. There's a lot in there. I won't get to it today. I want to wrap up. God loves us. I'm talking to you about the saving nature of God. God loves us like shepherds love the sheep. The Son of God is a friend of sinners. That's just hard for your mind to boggle. Second of all, God loves man in a revealing way. See, the son, the shepherd, rescued the sheep. You know what this woman did? She revealed some things. Look at it, if you would, in verse number 8. She lit a candle. Remember the day that God lit a candle in your heart? The light shone in that dark place. Did you notice that broom? Look what it says here. She swept the house. Not to clean it. No. She was searching for something. She was searching. See, the light was for the darkness. The broom was for a disturbance. It was sweeping up some stuff, disturbing some dust. I remember the day that the light shone in my heart and the Spirit of God began to disturb me about what the light revealed. I had lived many years, and I think I can honestly say I could count on my hand one time that I really ever gave thought to the wrong that I was doing until God lit the heart, the light in my heart, and it shone in darkness. And it's like the broom began to sweep and all that dust began to come up in the light, and I began to see my sin for what it really was, my actions. And I mean, God put a heavy burden on me and said, boy, this is wrong. And I agreed with God and said, you're exactly right. This is wrong. And I felt like that old Philippian jailer. What must I do to get this right? Amen. Amen. And so the saving nature of God is that of a shepherd to a sheep. He rescues. That of the woman, the candle, the broom, the Holy Spirit. He lights the heart in darkness. He disturbs the heart by sweeping up and showing and causing a disturbance in our heart. And then finally, by receiving like the Father. You've read that story. If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. When that son came home, he didn't make it all the way home. You know, one of the reasons that a lot of people don't get saved is they think, you know what, I can't come all the way forward, or I can't do all of this. The devil will be telling you everything that you can't do. But don't you listen to the devil now. God will be telling you everything he will do and that he can do. This father received his son. This is the most unlikely thing that you would read in the scripture. A father being done this way, being taken advantage of, given his inheritance, only to be squandered in scandalous living. And here comes this boy back home. And the father doesn't even wait for him to get home. He runs out to him and falls on his neck and receives him. I'm so glad that Christ receiveth sinful men. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. And so when I look at this, I see why Fellowship Baptist Church needs to have a missions conference. Because we need to have this nature that we just read about right here. I need to see that man is like a sheep wandering astray. He's out of place like a coin. And like those two boys, he's whether it's his actions or his attitude, he's not right with his father. And so with that in mind, I need to see that man without God needs help. And I need to tell him where his help lies. How about you? You willing to do that? Are you willing to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray for this missions conference. You can stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for our upcoming missions conference. I'm going to pray. And the first thing I want you to pray is, now listen to me. I want you to listen carefully. Not how much do I, Lord, how much you want me to give to world evangelism? I don't want you to pray that first. I want you to pray this. God, help me to view sinners the way you view sinners. I want your nature, your saving nature, to help me to see man in his sinful nature. I want to see people lost like you see them. That's where it begins. If you just give before that, it'll be a formality. Please listen to me. It'll be just a formality. But if you'll give with a burden, it'll be something that'll last. And God will get you more involved than just giving. You'll be praying. So would you pray that first of all? God, help me to view sinners the way you view sinners. Would you pray that? Number two, now God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? There's people that you work with. There's people that you see in the convenience stores, in the grocery stores, in the places where you shop. They're your neighbors. Are you telling them? Do you view them? Do you view them? You say, well, now some want to hear what I say. Yeah, the publicans, sinners, they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and so he told them. There's some people who want to hear what you say, so tell them. You say, well, now some don't want to hear what I say. They mock and scorn me. Yeah, the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured. And some may murmur when you tell them, but you tell them anyway. Jesus did. Amen, church? Yeah. Say, that's hard, preacher. Yeah, I know. Jesus will ask you to do some hard stuff. He asked me to do hard stuff. I know it's not easy. But it's right. And it's needful. And so you pray and ask God, God, what would you have me to do? And then here's the third thing. God, help me to put myself in a place to where I could know better what you would have me to do. Be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. So you can get the burden. See, God's not bringing those people here just so we can give to them. God's bringing our missionary guests and our keynote speakers here so they can give to us from what God has for us. If you're too busy for that, I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes people come to me and say, I don't have any joy in my life. Well, let me tell you how to get joy in your life. Do what God wants you to do. Love what God loves. Be a part of what God has a part of. And I'm not being mean here. I'm just being straight with you. So when I'm not sure where my place is in the body of Christ, how are you going to find that out if you're not involved in missions? Folks, I'm just going to be real with you here for about 2 minutes. If all we can do is, people saying, what's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the church? I have people ask me that almost daily. What's going on with the church? Not fellowship, the church. Well, what's going on with the church? I'll tell you a big part of what's going on in the church. The church has quit caring. We can't even get people to come back to church on Sunday night. Now, listen, the folks at Fellowship, there's a great crowd of people back on Sunday night and Wednesday nights. Can I ask you why you don't want to come to church on Sunday night? Well, I got things to do. Really? That's it? I'm not being mean and say, well, you're fussing at me. I'm not fussing at you. I'm asking you a question. I'm being dead serious. What's wrong that you can't be at church on Sunday night? What's more important than you being back at church on a Sunday night, a Wednesday? Well, that's not in the Bible. Listen to me. Taking a nap's not either, but I'm going to take one. Somebody say amen. You say, if you get us out of here in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to get a longer one. Well, I'll get you out. I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you to understand something. See, the devil will deceive you and think you can make it on one message a week. Now, listen to me. If that's all it takes for you, there's something not right. You don't have a cup, you have a thimble. I'm just saying. Get in church. Get more of God's word. Get more in fellowship with God's people. Connect. Find your place. Serve God. That's where it's at. I'm glad you're here. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I just want you to get more. Just get more. God has more for you. All right? Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play.